Good evening. Good to see you this evening. Good to be here with you. We're going to be studying from the book of James this evening again. Chapter 1, 19 through 21 is going to be the main text that we're going to focus on. I'd love to know what prompted James to write this book. When you look at the book of James, you'll see a lot of commands. There's 108 verses and there's 59 commands in the book. So there's a large number of commands that are in this book, and you kind of wonder, you know, what prompted this? He sees, the Christians dispersed. Is he trying to give them all some unifying words that they can take with them and that they can use to help them be edified and to grow into the image of Christ and to be better? We looked at verse 18 and talked about that purpose statement, right? You were brought forth by the word of truth so that you could be the first fruits of his creatures. And that purpose statement of being first fruits of his creatures tells us we can be the best and most holy of his creatures. So it only follows for James to go through and tell us commands that will help us in our endeavor to be first fruits. And I think that's what he does. When you look into the following verses, right after the purpose statement, you see James saying, "Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger." He jumps right into commands. These three commands that he starts off his body of his letter with. Know these things. These are very important as first fruits to get, to understand. In order to be to the glory of God, we need to understand these things. Be quick to hear. Pay attention. When you think about quick to hear, you think about someone who is listening. Have you ever been in a situation where you were supposed to be listening, but you didn't? You were ignoring the things that somebody was saying at the time. Why did you do that? Were you too busy thinking about something else? Were you in your own little world and thinking about your own things and your own life? Were they just being boring and you just didn't care about the things that they said? Just wasn't that important to you? What were you thinking about as you were supposed to be listening to someone else? What other people say should be important to me. As they're speaking, instead of trying to come up with a cheeky response or something that is meaningful, I should listen to what they say first. Be quick to hear and understand what people are trying to tell you. How many times do we seek first to be understood and we just bypass understanding other people? We need to spend time understanding the beliefs and the ideas of others. And we need to consider that to be very important. Do you like to be listened to? Do you like for someone to pay attention to the words that are coming out of your mouth? So does the person who's speaking to you. Be quick to hear. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 5, as Solomon's writing this book to his son, he wants his son to listen to him. These are important words for him to understand, to make sure that he is able to live a life that is worth living. And will the son listen? You see, Rehoboam didn't really listen. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. Don't be arrogant enough to think that you already know where you're going to go and what you're going to say and how you're going to act, that you won't first listen to what other people have to say. Second thing that James says is be slow to speak. Be slow to speak. Allowing time to process the information before expressing your thoughts. Bite your tongue. Hold back the words. You don't have to say everything that's on your mind. Allow time to process the information that's given to you. Allow time for things to happen so that you can understand the right thing to say and not just what's most expedient. Allow time for all the information to be digested, to formulate a response that is worth saying. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 28, even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he's deemed intelligent. I love that proverb. It tells me I can look wise even when I'm a fool. When I don't know what to say, it's better not to say something and show everyone how foolish I am. Bite your tongue. Hold back the words that are unprofitable for the occasion. Look for the words that fit the occasion. Allow your words to be seasoned with salt so that they can have an effect on the hearer that helps them, that builds them up to live for God and to do what's right, that encourages them when they're down. That takes a lot of time. We should spend more time listening than we do speaking. It might actually save us a lot of embarrassment. I can't tell you how many times I was about to say something when somebody else says something first. Man, that would have been really embarrassing because I was completely wrong. I don't know what I was thinking. I mean, so many times we're quick to say things and then we regret it. Hold back your speech a little bit and you'll be embarrassed a little less. And your words may actually be more useful to those who you want to listen to you. Thirdly, he says, be slow to anger. Isn't that a struggle for so many people? Be slow to anger. Control your thoughts. Anger is an internal decision that we make because inside our heads we are thinking negative thoughts about someone else or about our situation. Those thoughts get in our head and we just dwell on them. We let them take over our minds. We are unwilling to give the benefit of the doubt. Don't let jealousy and pride and envy or malice or whatever it is take control of you. Spend time allowing people to convince you that you're wrong in your assumptions. Because a lot of times that's what happens. A lot of times our anger is the result of assumptions that we make. Even when we think that it's evident, this person is being unfair, this person is being evil, this person is trying to harm people, even when we think it has become evident, wait. Give them another chance. Allow them to convince you otherwise. Look for other possibilities. Have you ever chewed someone out and then come to realize you were wrong for what you said? Proverbs 29, verse 11, a fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. A lot of damage, a lot of harm can come as a result of our anger. We not only need to say the right things at the right times, but we need to say it in the right way. Hold back your tongue. Hold back your anger. Allow this information to process. Allow things to play out a little further before you give full vent to your anger. Why? Why is this important? Why is James writing about this? He tells us. Verse 20. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Do you remember what you're here for? We're here to produce the righteousness of God. We're here to be His first fruits. Being slow to hear, being quick to speak, being quick to anger does not help me to produce fruit for God. It hinders me from it. You look back in the first 18 verses in this introduction, and you remember how he says in trials, you need to be mature, you need to be wise, you need to be humble, you need to control yourself from the temptations that are among you to be His first fruits. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. That's a level of maturity, wisdom, humility, and control. How often was Christ short-tempered? Was Christ flippant in the words that He said? Did His words carry meaning? He was not an arrogant fool when He spoke, was He? We're supposed to put on the attributes of Jesus. Hearing, speaking, and acting like Christ produces fruit. He came to this earth to do the will of the Father. And we see in Him a great example of one who is producing much fruit to God's glory. Any anger that Christ had was not impulsive, and it was not self-gratifying. It was not on a whim because someone deserved it. It was with purpose. His words were thought out and piercing. And that's why they produced fruit for God. And that's what we are striving for. We have these great words of encouragement that we can be the first fruits of His creatures, right? We need to control our ears, our mouths, and our thoughts. Okay. How am I going to do that? How am I going to do that? That's hard, right? How am I going to do that? Verse 21, he says, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. He says to put away filthiness and rampant wickedness. When I think of filthiness, I think about Alabama in the time when it's really dry. You can tell who lives on a dirt road or a gravel driveway. Their car is covered in dust. After it's been dry for so long, that dust just flies everywhere. And some people, you can tell they don't want to wash their car. They like to have dirt so that they could write things in it and let people write in their car, right? Their cars are just filthy. And you have to constantly maintain that and wash it off to get the dust off. If you live down a dirt road, it's just something you have to do. You have to get rid of all that filth. You have to use your windshield wipers to see out the windshield sometimes. That's what I think of whenever I think of filthy. I think about this layer of dirt that's covering up our vehicles as we drive in the dust. But filth also brings to my mind personal hygiene, right? You ever been in a situation where you couldn't take a shower for a few days, or been around somebody who maybe hasn't taken a shower in like a year? It's hard to be around that person, right? I mean, there's a smell that comes from that that's very hard to be around. The filthiness makes it difficult to bear with. When we think about being filthy, in the sense that he says to put away your filth, he's talking about the moral filth that acts as a barrier between us and God. He's talking about our holiness or lack thereof. And he's telling us, put those things away. Whatever sin you have lingering in your life is making you filthy to God. Rampant wickedness. Rampant is like abundance. I think about poison ivy that was growing rampant where I live. I think about the animals that were running rampant. He says, don't let the wickedness in your life run rampant. The impulses and the desires that are creeping up inside of you. The evil intentions that are in you. Put those things away. Get rid of them. It's killing our fruit. It's killing our fruit. We can't produce the righteousness of God if those things are still there. They're a barrier, causing us to stink to God. And that's not what we want to do as His first fruits. He says we need to meekly receive the Word implanted. So after we put these things away, we fill our lives with the Word of truth that brought us forth. We receive it meekly. And that word meekly is filled with be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, right? Someone who is meek is humble. They're wise. They're mature. They're self-controlled. It's not the kind of person that's self-important. That's arrogant. And that's a fool. That's not what we do. We meekly receive the Word implanted in our hearts. We let the Word come in. We don't block it. Another word for filthy, very similar word to that, is the word for earwax. I thought that was interesting as I was studying. In order to receive the Word, we don't put up any kind of barrier to keep us from hearing it and intaking that Word and letting it have its full effect on us. We spend the time that's required to get the real truths that are in there and make those applications to our own lives. In order to be what God wants us to be, in order to be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, we need to meekly receive the Word that sheds light on the importance of it and the benefit of it as you praise God and glorify Him with how you live. So then I ask the question, are we eager to hear the Word taught? Why do we come here? Is it to shake hands and to see people that we enjoy being around? Is it a social interaction that we crave? Or is it because we want to hear the Word? We want to receive it in our hearts and be affected by it to change. I think about the Bereans. In Acts chapter 17, this is what it says about these people. The brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogues. Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica, they received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Many of them therefore believed, with not a few Greek women in high standing, of high standing as well as men. These people were excited to hear and understand more of God's word. And they were going home and they were studying it to understand more and more of God's word, to make it a part of their lives. Think for just a minute about how the word has impacted your life. Think about how the word has changed your course. Is it changing what you're doing right now? Is there something you're working on as a result of what you've studied that you're trying to grow in? Is it to be better at being quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger? They're eager to know more. They're eager to be changed and transformed by the Word of God. Let that be said about us as well. There's plenty to study. There's plenty that we don't know, that we need to learn, that we need to grow in. There's materials online that we need to study, that we need to enhance our abilities to teach others, to prepare ourselves to speak. Brent's done an excellent job with the website to give us the resources that we need to go out and to teach people the truth. We need to study those things and be affected by them. Have the word implanted in us. So James is telling us to spend time in the word. God has spoken. Pay attention. Be careful when you speak. Be gentle and loving like He is. We have been brought forth by the word of truth, that we might be kind of first fruits of His creatures. And he goes on to say in verse 21, receive the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. God has spoken. Be affected. Does He want you to hear what He has to say? Yes, He does. Does He care? If you believe He cares, show that you care. He took the time to give us the Word. Let us take the time to know it, to be affected by it, to be changed by it, to be more like Him. Let us produce fruits in our lives by removing the filthiness and the rampant wickedness and putting on the truth of the Word to be like Christ. Are you slow to hear? Are you quick to speak? Are you quick to anger? James is telling us your salvation is in jeopardy. If you need to make that change, make it now before it's too late. If there's anybody here tonight who knows what you need to do to be saved, you understand what Jesus has done for you, and you want to make the decision to come to Him and confess your sins, repenting of those sins, being baptized for the forgiveness of those sins, He can cleanse all the filth and all the wickedness that's in your life, making you free and clear, so that you can now live a life for Him, bearing fruit to His glory. If anybody here needs to do that, please come as we stand and sing.